An American Marine says the killing of innocent civilians in Iraq, which he witnessed, was inevitable given what soldiers were told by their superiors about the threat facing them. It's such killings which have fueled the uprising against coalition forces. Jimmy Massey is a former staff sergeant who left the Marines in November after 12 years. I asked him about the way U.S. soldiers treated civilians in Iraq.
We killed a lot of innocent civilians. We were given intelligence reports at that time saying that the Fedayeen and the Republican Guard had taken off their uniforms and had started wearing civilian clothes and were mounting attacks against the U.S. forces in Baghdad. They were telling us that there were ambulances that were loaded with explosives, that they were using cop cars, you know, for suicide bombings. So when we went into Baghdad, my Marines were pretty hyped up on all this intelligence reports. We didn't know who the bad guy was. To us, every civilian in Baghdad was a terrorist. There was no other way for us to look at it. So when we would have these civilians come into our checkpoints with their vehicles, we would fire a warning shot and tell them to stop. But if they came within our perimeter, we lit them up. And every time we lit them up, we were expecting to have secondary explosions or hear ammunition go off in the car. And when we would pull the body out and we would search the car, we would find nothing. This took place time and time again.
Didn't the soldiers learn from that? Didn't they realize that many of these people were just civilians?
It's kind of hard when you don't know who to trust, when the bad guy is everywhere. It really plays on your psyche after a while. It's like this, you know, Jekyll and Hyde mentality. One minute you're playing humanitarian, passing out candy to the little kid, and then 2 seconds later you're having to switch over to be a killer.
So there was nothing actually senior command could have done to try to change the way that the U.S. military were behaving?
The rules of engagement are determined by the intelligence reports that we receive. If the intelligence reports say that these individuals, these Fedayeen, are now in civilian clothes, that makes everybody free game. And I know it says in the Geneva Convention as well, you do not shoot non-enemy combatants. You don't shoot civilians. When you have a child die in your arms because of an American air raid and the concussion from the bomb that, you know, landed right next to his window causes him to have internal damage, and he dies right in front of your arms, you start questioning what's going on.
This is why you said you felt we were committing genocide.
That's correct.
And yet genocide is politically directed.
Yes.
Would you say that of the war in Iraq, that this genocide was politically directed, this killing?
Yes, I feel that way. With these reports that were given out to us, it's giving the American soldier free rein to make the judgment call on the battlefield whether or not that person is a civilian or it's not a civilian. However, there is no consequences for him pulling that trigger. If he pulls that trigger and discovers that that individual was a civilian, no harm, no foul. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Because this is a new type of war. This is an eradication war. We're there to eradicate terrorists for the democracy in Iraq to start to thrive. But we have to get rid of the terrorists first. But what happens if you don't know who the terrorists are? What happens when you think that the kid that you see pedaling his bicycle, he looks 14 years old, but he could be a terrorist. And then, you know, you're following and you see him doing something shady, like pulling out an AK or something like that, that he's got hid behind a shed. So you decide to pop him in the grate, you know, shoot him in the head. And then you go over and you find out that the weapon that he was picking up didn't even work. It didn't even have the internal parts within the machine gun to fire. So wouldn't that make you a killer if you'd done something like that?
You obviously felt very uncomfortable about this, and you went to your superiors. What did they say?
After quite a few of the civilian casualties that we had taken over there, I was really at a boiling point. And we were at a morning battle plan meeting. My lieutenant, after the meeting, came up to me and asked me if I was feeling okay. And I told him, no, I wasn't feeling okay. You know, I was having a hard time dealing with the things that we were doing over there. And he asked me to elaborate, and I told him, I said, well, sir, I honestly feel that we're committing genocide over here. And he didn't like that. Subsequently, after me saying that, I knew that my career was going to be short in the Marine Corps. They basically forced my resignation from being a platoon sergeant. At that time, I didn't have any quarrels about resigning my position. I told them that they were wrong and that I didn't want their money and I didn't want their benefits. When I got out of the Marine Corps, I was going to tell whoever would listen. And, it got really ugly. I had to hire an attorney because they tried to label me as a conscientious objector, and I told them that I wasn't a conscientious objector. You know, I believe that there are some wars that were worth fighting. However, I don't believe in killing civilians, and I'm not going to kill civilians for the United States Marine Corps.
How many of your fellow soldiers felt the same?
I had quite a few of my younger troops coming up to me and asking me off record about what was going on. And, of course, with me being in a senior position, you know, I'm not going to tell them my true feelings. I just looked at them and told them, listen, you know, Marine, you're over here to do a job. You're over here to help establish a democracy here in Iraq, and it's tough.
And when you saw the pictures of what was happening in Abu Ghraib jail, were you surprised?
No, I wasn't surprised.
Do you think that sort of thing was widespread?
I think it's widespread in the U.S. military, period.
What, around the world?
Correct. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines.
And why do you think that is?
I think because American soldiers, and especially American Marines, are dehumanized. They're dehumanized from day one that they enter boot camp. And the American Armed Forces has worked with the Israelis quite extensively. And we've patterned a lot of our training after the Israelis. Well, we all know what's going on with that. But to, you know, basically dehumanize a soldier so they, you know, they have the self-confidence or they have the self-direction to pull the trigger, even if it's a civilian.
Jimmy Massey, many thanks.